So, Tony, it is time to get into another interview. And honestly, dude, this was a guest that I was really impressed that you were able to get on the show. And then after I listened to the interview that you conducted, holy crap, I just have to say there's no reason for this guy to be the chief technology officer at Commodore. He needs to be the chief PR director. I mean, after hearing this interview, I want one of these things so bad, so bad. So here it is, everybody. We have Leo Nigro from Commodore USA to talk about his memories of Commodore and to talk about the re-release of the Commodore 64 coming out, as well as the Amiga line of PCs that's getting relaunched as well. So, man, you guys are really going to enjoy this one. Are you keeping up with the Commodore?
'Cause the Commodore is keeping up with you. Welcome back to episode 50. We have a very special guest on another very special guest on episode 50, and we're just really excited to welcome Leo Nigro to the show. And Leo is the Chief Technology Officer at Commodore USA. How are you doing today, Leo?
Doing very well, thank you. And thank you for having us on your 50th show. It's a real honor.
Well, we are. The honor is all ours. If you don't know, Commodore has been making personal computers for a long time. Recently, just made some waves in both the gaming and electronic world with the announcement of the Commodore 64 remake or re-release. And so we are excited to get Leo on the show to talk about that a little bit. So, Leo, let's go ahead and get started with some questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
All right. Well, Leo, you are the Chief Technology Officer for Commodore USA. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you became involved in the technology field.
Right. Well, that's a great question. I think the story of how I became involved in the technology field is very closely related to my experience with Commodore computers growing up. I remember the wonder and awe I had of the Commodore VIC-20 that was in the classroom at my primary school at the time. And of course, like most children, I was fascinated initially with the games, but I also was very much intrigued by the possibilities of the computer and what it could allow you to do through programming. So, in fact, one of my earliest programming experiences was on a friend's VIC-20, and it's actually quite a funny story because we were trying to enter a program from a magazine or perhaps a programming book from the era, and I think a lot of people recall how that was. And anyway, back then tape drives were the main media, and we were so dumb, we thought you had to record your keystrokes on the tape to record the program. So here we were, forcing play and record buttons down on the tape drive, trying to type the program in as fast as we could to record the program. So that's a bit of a dolt. So yeah, that was kind of silly, but soon enough I learned the right way and found programming like a fun puzzle to solve. And because there's no one way to do anything, you can come at a problem from a lot of different angles, and it allows a lot of creativity. So then later, when the C64 came out, I begged my parents for one, like a lot of children did at the time, and obviously played up the fact that I could do my homework on it and that computers were the future.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, back in the early 80s, and, you know, War Games was out and all that kind of stuff, I think, and I promised to do chores, all that kind of stuff. And then one Christmas, my dream came true, and there was a C64 under my tree, and I absolutely loved it. And I think a lot of people, you know, the initial unboxing and setup is burned into their mind, just as it is mine. And it was one of the most fun experiences of my childhood. So, as you would expect, I played a lot of games, and it was quite an exciting era in gaming technology.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and a major shift, because if you think about it, as it moved the gaming industry away from consoles, because, well, they were probably already dying at that time in the 80s, but it was really the beginning of an open software industry, because you didn't have to use fixed ROM cartridges. And anymore. So you could distribute software and tapes and discs,
yeah,
and even on the front of magazines. And I remember buying a lot of computer game magazines and some, you know, like, I don't know if you had it, Zap 64, for instance, was one of my favorites.
Okay.
And you know, yeah, and we're even talking about bringing that back in some form in the future. So it's you know, this retro remake has a lot of potential for a lot of other things to come back too. So anyway, I used the C64 for homework when I was allowed to, and went on to write some fun programs in BASIC, you know, with a smidgen of assembly language as I got a bit older. And I made numerous attempts at games and graphics, but I can't say I actually produced anything of commercial quality. And I remember getting a fair way into, you know, Space Invaders typing, mm-hmm. typing tutor clones, and pretty far into the game physics of the sort of super sprint clone I was working on. And I remember some of my school friends were quite intrigued by that, and we were, you know, always talking about teaming up and doing something together. So it was a very exciting time. Then, of course, natural progression from the C64 was the Amiga line.
Yeah.
And I remember my first experience with the Commodore Amiga in a department store in Australia, and just looking at that Amiga 1000 demo playing, my jaw just dropped. And it was so out of this world for the time. And, you know, I couldn't afford one at the time, but a little later when the A500 came out, I was able to buy used 1000, and I absolutely adored that. And that's got to be one of the best-looking computers ever made. And I still have it sitting right here on my desk beside me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, admittedly, it's a kind of a shrine because...
Oh, yeah.
You can't really... I haven't been game to turn it on for a little while because, you know, they might stop working. But, you know, whenever I get the urge to play an old game, I turn on an emulator neon these days. So,
yeah.
You know. And, you know, I expanded it, and I had, you know, an IBM-compatible sidecar, which was, you know, it was a big box you'd plug into the side, and it allowed you to turn, you know, to share the PC hard disk with the Amiga. So I had a lot of envious friends at that time, because let me tell you, the Amiga hard disk back then cost the earth. So I kept it as my main computer for many years, and really, just as I was poised to buy an Amiga 1200 or a 4000, Commodore went bankrupt. So that was a sad, sad time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, back in 94. And obviously, my experience with Commodore computers inspired me to get into the computing field, and I was already at university doing my computer science degree, and unfortunately, as much loyalty as I felt to the Commodore brand, it was pretty obvious that PCs were going to be the way to go after that, and I was already having trouble finding the right programming language on the Amiga that was being used in our courses. So there was really no other option, and I felt for me back in that day. So it's time to get back to Commodore.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's funny you're sharing your stories about the Commodore 64, and, you know, my parents didn't really want anything to do with the computer, and I was begging them when I was a kid to get one. And it's funny because, like, in my generation, I was probably, like, a couple years behind with, like, the Commodore 64 being the hottest, you know, like, by that time, mm-hmm. some early NPCs were kind of taking over. And it was kind of... Our friends had a Commodore 64, and their dad always had the latest technology, and he was moving to a PC, and they had, like, you know, the fast load cartridge and the 5 1/4 inch floppy drive and, like, 1,000 games, you know, and all this stuff. And, like,
yeah, I had all that stuff. Yeah,
yeah. And they were selling their Commodore for like $60, and I just begged my parents, you know, like, let me get it. And so they finally let me get it, and so it was like my main gaming system for 2 years, and that's all I played and all I messed around with. And I just, you know, I'd go watch the movie War Games, and then I'd go upstairs trying to somehow magically program or hack something, or, you know. And so it was like, it was influential. And we had a house fire when I was a freshman in high school, and like I had kept the Commodore for collector's reasons, and we lost it, and I was so bummed. And last year at a yard sale here in Ohio, it was so funny because I went up to, I saw this giant Packard Bell box, which is the old computer brand, and I went up to this box and I opened it up, and it was a mint condition Commodore 64 that they were selling. So I got it for $5, so I was able to re-add it to my collection, and it works fine, and I was pretty excited about that. So but yeah, it's cool to share stories about how Commodore was influential in our childhood. So that's definitely awesome. So how did you first become involved with Commodore USA, and what are you passionate about? Why are you passionate about working with Commodore?
Well, you know, obviously I share your passion having owned the computers. And, you know, I played so many games, and it wasn't just the playability of the games, which was astonishing, but the advancements and the way they took advantage of the hardware that was interesting. And it's very much like today's console era. You know, people kept pushing what the hardware could do. So the Commodore era was remarkable, and it changed my outlook on technology. And for many years, I followed all the various attempts to bring back the Commodore and Amiga name, and I watched as one by one they kind of fell over like dominoes. And
yeah.
So I think, like many people on the various forums on the internet, I often postulated, hypothesized what I would do to bring back these terrific brands from yesteryear, and create a viable company which could bring them back into a mainstream consciousness again. So when I saw that, someone was trying to restart Commodore back in like March or April of last year, I felt compelled to contact that company and share some of my ideas. So that's how it began. You know, a few emails led to a telephone conversation, and then many more, and conversations about strategy and hardware and software and the spirit of these computers. And the knowledge I had of the various classic user groups in existence, and I pursued a few things in my spare time as an advisor, and later, as I seemed to take on more and more tasks, I was asked to become officially involved with the company. And Barry Altman, who's the CEO of Commodore USA, and I get along famously, and our relationship has grown from there. So I'm passionate about working for Commodore USA because I see this really as the first time a Commodore company has a chance to rekindle the Commodore spirit. I see myself very much as a custodian of the Commodore flame. And it's not really an undertaking I take lightly.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
We are under a ton of scrutiny from the fans, and things just can't happen as quickly as everyone wants. And
mm-hmm.
We'll get there in time, and things are looking very positive going forward, and we're working with a lot of terrific companies, and various forces are aligning in our favor. And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the year, Commodore will be one of the most exciting companies in the computer industry, and perhaps even a major player in it. So yeah, we're fun times ahead.
That's amazing, and it's good to have someone like you who grew up with the Commodore kind of at the helm, helping to lead and make decisions for the company. And I know that you cause, like, just watching. I stay up really heavily with the gaming collectors and retro markets, and just when the announcement came out about the Commodore 64, it was like, you know, an explosion on the internet. People were just talking about it the entire week, and so I am excited to see what is happening with the company, you know, especially by the end of the year. With the re-release of the Commodore 64, I know I was pretty excited about that. Why was that decision made to do a modern remake of the classic computer?
Initially, the Commodore 64 was not in our plans at all. I mean, we thought the keyboard computer concept is a great concept,
mm-hmm.
and we were considering creating a totally unrelated keyboard computer in the same spirit to these Commodore computers. But then it occurred to me as we were working through what we were going to do, it would make sense to do the Commodore 64, if only because the dimensions of the case allowed us to see what we wanted in there.
Oh yeah, you gotta love that round keyboard. So
yeah, so it had, you know, the height and the dimensions that we could do something very interesting with. And so ironically, the engineering prompted us to take that action, and of course the fans seemed to be crying out for it. So, you know, we put that together, and it seemed to make a lot of sense. And it was actually something I brought up on various Amiga forums at least 5 or 6 years ago when I, you know, if I won the lottery, I would do this sort of kind of comments. And
yeah.
So it was kind of an unforgotten memory, and it just made a lot of sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense, and yeah, that keyboard is like ingrained in my memory, so
it's iconic.
It's pretty awesome. So, what can you tell us about the new Commodore 64? What are some of the features, and what are you most excited about?
Well, the greatest thing about the new Commodore 64 is that you can use it for everything you do on computers today. It's got modern hardware inside, so it can run many of the latest games, surf the web, and do everything you're currently using your computer to do. I mean, you can't do that with your old
Oh,
C64.
yeah.
And it'll also have everything available out of the box to run your favorite classic games, if that's what you're interested in. So it really is the best of both worlds. Use it for, work and play. So, our company's interests do not end there, and I'm really excited about the possibilities of the Commodore and Amiga brands and where we can take it for entirely new products. The C64 is really one of a few keyboard computers in our current lineup, and the others predominantly geared, to more towards a conservative or professional business audience. And we have something like the Vic Slim, which is a great client computer for business. And the keyboard form factor really does save a lot of desk space at the end of the day, so which is of interest to businesses. So that said, we understand the retro remakes of classic Commodore computers is something that consumers find, most interesting and appealing. So we'll be releasing many more in the coming years, and we'll do more modernized retro remakes of the Amiga 500 and the Amiga desktop computers. But we'll also do we'll launch laptops, netbooks, tablets, whatever else you can think of, including a number of interesting and rather groundbreaking peripherals. So ultimately, we'll bring various technologies into play that I hope will make Commodore, as I said, one of the most exciting computer companies on the planet.
Well, I'm pretty excited about that as well. And even with the talk of the new C64 and some of the Amiga line, like just the portability of having it in a keyboard, I think is exciting. 'Cause you can, I mean, although it's not as, maybe as portable as a laptop or something like that, but if you want to take it somewhere, you can, And that's pretty exciting. And we will go ahead and link your website as well for our listeners, because I want our listeners to go and read about all the exciting things that's happening, because you do have a lot of great news on the website about now and what the future holds for Commodore. So we'll make sure and do that as well.
And of course, you can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter as well.
Oh yeah, so we have a lot of listeners on Facebook and Twitter, so we'll make sure and point everyone in the right direction. To you and to Commodore. I know Scott and I, who Scott, my co-host, who couldn't be with us today for the interview, is really excited about this as well. So, we want to do anything we can to point listeners towards Commodore for sure.
And I'd also like to highlight that, we're very receptive to input from fans, and we get a lot of emails, and we read them all, even if some of them are a little bit crazy. But and we even have our own forum, Commodore-Amiga.org. So and the fans talk about our products and make suggestions, and this is they have, they can actually shape the way our company unfolds.
Well, one of the things I've realized is when you allow gamers to have input, and when you allow people who love technology to have input, it makes a huge difference for them with their loyalty to the company. So that's a good thing to hear, that you guys are willing to listen to the fans and listen to people and allow people's ideas to shape, some of the decisions you make. So that's a really exciting thing for fans and and people who are into Commodore. So that's really exciting. So one of the last questions I did have for you, Leo, is I did want to ask you a little bit about the Commodore OS. And I don't know how much you can talk about it, but I did notice on the website there's going to be a Commodore OS released, and I believe you had mentioned it in one of our emails as well. And so I just wanted to see what are some of the features and what can we expect from the Commodore OS, and when will it be released?
Yeah, sure. Well, our Commodore computers, of course, are as capable of running any operating system as any other. So you could run Windows just as you would on any Mac. But we'll pursue our own Commodore branded operating system, because because, you know, it's something, if you think about it, it's something that Commodore had in the past. They always had their own environment that they booted up into. So, and also, you know, just like Apple, of course, you know, Commodore's traditional rival, we feel it also makes sense. So if you're going to bring back Commodore in this day and age, you'd do something very similar to what they've done and pre-install your own operating system. So, like Apple, we intend to nurture and grow our own Commodore OS into something innovative and exciting over the years, and we hope it will make, you know, we can make it a real contender in the marketplace and something that will greatly differentiate our products. The underpinning Commodore OS is Linux. So, you know, Linux is one of the most popular operating systems in the world. You know, it's got a huge following, a vast array of software and hardware support.
Mm-hmm.
And it powers many of, you know, many great businesses and websites today. So Commodore OS will cater not only to returning Commodore owners or fans, and not just the computer geeks with its features, but it will be more accessible. We want to make it more inviting and user-friendly for a more mainstream audience. Linux very much has been the domain of computer geeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're aiming to create a Linux for the rest of us. And its operation should be second nature to anyone who's familiar with either Windows or Mac OS X. So it will be something that's distinctly Commodore-inspired with contemporary user interface paradigms. And it will be visually attractive with some of the most stunning eye candy you've ever seen. So through Commodore OS, Commodore USA will champion the open source movement, and we hope to play a part in bringing Linux to a mainstream audience, an audience that really is calling out for more choices.
Yeah.
So we hope to be the alternative to Windows and Mac. Commodore computers, you know, but going further, I mean, Commodore computers were always regarded for their creative potential, you know, and they allowed users to create graphics, compose music, write games, applications, as well as perform, you know, lots of, you know, productivity activities. And Commodore OS will be pre-configured with a standard set of suitable best-of-breed open-source applications that will be, we hope, equally as inspiring to creativity. It'll come with advanced graphics editors, 3D modelers and renderers, video editors, sound editors, mini synthesizer music composition tools, and of course, you know, Office compatibility in you know, Word compatibility through through Office, through OpenOffice or LibreOffice, I should say. It'll even come with everything you would need to organize your finances and balance your home budget. So there's a lot you would get out of the box. Going further, Commodore computers taught many people how to program.
Mm-hmm.
And we've received, you know, many requests from fans to bring that aspect to our new range of computers. Of course, you will have access to the latest versions of Commodore Basic that were produced during the 8-bit era for emulation. But, you know, Commodore OS will also have many of the latest programming tools and languages.
Fantastic.
So cater to beginners all the way to advanced programmers. So you'll have everything you need to get in and go already set up. And so we'll have several different dialects of Basic to choose from, each with their own focus, you know, focusing on applications or game making or just ease of use or education. And, of course, these will still come pre-installed with the various add-ons that will, you know, facilitate the development. In subsequent versions of Commodore OS, we'll include our own application programming interface, which we're calling at the moment Illumination. And this will simplify the development of certain styles of applications immensely. And you never know. We may even take on the challenge one day of creating a new version of Commodore Basic or something. So,
yeah,
you know, with all the features of the previous versions and more. And there's a lot of potential to do a lot of things down the track. And, you know, going further, if I may.
That's fun. Go for it.
Yeah.
Getting me excited hearing about all these features.
Yeah. There's cool. So much possibilities.
Yeah.
Commodore computers are also renowned for you know, being great game machines. And you have to mention games when you mention Commodore. And today's Commodore computers will be no less entertaining. I mean, if you, later in the year, Commodore USA will release the Amiga range of computers. So and they can be used as either high-end home theater systems or high-end gaming rigs or high-performance workstations. So our new Amigas will be the most powerful gaming rigs you can get your hands on. That's what we want them known for, and that's what we'll make them. And, of course, our new Commodore 64 and our upcoming Amiga range of desktop computers, including the new Amiga 500 keyboard computer, which we'll release at the end of the year, will be great at running the latest cutting-edge Windows games. So, you know, in order to do that, you know, flexibility was always a hallmark of Commodore computers. And,
oh, yeah.
And we'll provide, you know, a simple graphical boot menu, so you can boot into your preferred operating system. And so you could boot into Commodore OS and through an interface technology called Wine, I'm not sure many of your listeners may know what it is, you can run many of the latest Windows games through without Windows. So, even Windows applications can even be run seamlessly through using virtual machine software. So, you know, if you need to run an essential Windows app and you don't want to leave the comfort of Commodore OS, you can still do so. But you need Windows for that, of course. Included with Commodore OS will be some great open source 2D and 3D video games. And it'll also allow users to run, of course, you know, your Commodore games from the 80s and 90s.
That's what I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, through emulation.
Yeah.
So you can emulate everything, you know, from, you know, the PET all the way, you know, VIC-20, Commodore 64, 128, C16, you know, you name it, all the way through the Amiga range. And shortly after Commodore OS launches, we'll even have our own Commodore App Store, where you can purchase classic Commodore titles as well as new software titles from, you know, indie developers or bedroom coders or, you know, even, we hope, major game publishers. So we've already received a great amount of interest in our App Store from indie game developers, and we'll shortly be reaching out to the development community. And I envision that the focus of the App Store will likely revolve around retro remakes of classic titles, but using up-to-date technology and graphics. So, of course, our C64 can play DVDs and Blu-ray discs, and our Commodore can stream content over the internet, and we will provide all the software required to do so. So we will include software to manipulate and, say, organize your photos, and even include a fully functional media center software. So that allow you to arrange and watch your extensive media library. We may also provide a hardware option that will allow you to turn your computer into a digital video recorder. So there's all sorts of exciting possibilities there. And, you know, Commodore computers were also used, it's important not to forget, extensively in education. And we have received a great deal of interest from the education sector. Commodore OS will feature terrific educational software and games. And we will also include a kids browser to, you know, ensure that children are only doing what you want them to view online.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's a must-have feature for today's market. So.
Yeah. So parents can, you know, rest assured that, you know, their kids are browsing safe. So now Commodore OS, as it's based on Linux, will you know, also be a secure multi-user operating system, and it will be relatively virus-free. I mean, viruses will be practically non-existent in Commodore OS. So. But just in case, we'll include firewall, virus detection software, and all that other stuff, just to ensure the smooth operation of your computer. So the emphasis in Commodore OS is really on stability and compatibility with our hardware.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a kind of a hardware-software integration as much as we can. So Commodore USA will control the update mechanism of the OS and featured applications, hopefully. So ensuring that, you know, only tested updates are issued, and your Commodore hardware will remain in a functional state no matter what. So today's computers, you know, are obviously the central hub of many people's online social networking. So Commodore OS will include social networking software and, you know, bring together, you know, that allows you to bring together and manage people's online social activities. So Commodore OS will include the latest web browsers, internet technologies, and we intend to incorporate greater social gaming aspects later as well. So you know, and create a community around our products, be it on Facebook, on web forums, or integrated in, into chat channels, or even possibly in online gaming worlds. I mean, maybe something like a massively multiplayer online role-playing game in the future. So when you buy a Commodore product, we want you to feel as though you are a member of an exclusive club and that you're, you know, using something special.
Yeah.
So looking forward, if I haven't already talked your ear off.
No, this is fantastic. So,
So we're going to focus our effort on creating, you know, this is all pie in the sky, but we're very soon going to focus on creating the computing interface of 2020. I mean, years before that date. I mean, you've got to think that commercial operating systems will not remain stagnant in this decade. And, you know, we intend to bring various emerging 3D and interactive interface technologies front and center to our product offerings. So sometime in the near future, the OS, you know, integrated with our website, for instance, will feature extensive video tutorials and, you know, it'll explain and demonstrate various features and applications found within Commodore OS, and as well as provide tips and troubleshooting guides and, you know, all this is in an effort to simplify and, you know, facilitate and empower and, you know, empower users to use their Commodore computers to be as creative and productive and entertained as they possibly can be. If I may, I would also, you know, like to say we greatly appreciate the many thousands of positive comments we've received through email, on Facebook, and in our forum. And, you know, we are huge fans of Commodore and the Amiga, and we wouldn't be able to wouldn't be into this if we weren't, you know. We're not in it just to make money, as some people claim. I mean that is important, of course, but we're not just some major conglomerate that bought the name and will churn out any old stuff, you know. We want to release products that, you know, which encompass the spirit of the brands and what these, you know, computers were and what they meant to people. I mean, we not only want to keep the flame alive, we want to make it shine.
Yeah.
So, you know, we want to make Commodore a real contender in the marketplace again. And if even a quarter of the plans, you know, I have to say, come to fruition, I think we can go a fair way to accomplishing that. And we've invested a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money into this, and we'll be doing everything in our power to make it work. And, you know, sometimes things don't work as, you know, don't move as quickly as one hopes. So,
yeah.
You know, I would ask, you know, the Commodore and Amiga fans and communities around the world, you know, be patient with us, and, you know, we're going to go through some growing pains, obviously, and, you know, be patient as we attempt to restore the Commodore and Amiga brands to their rightful place as major contenders in the market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of people ask how they can help us out. And, you know, I have to say, the way to help us out the most is to spread the word, you know. Spread the word that Commodore is back and, you know, spread the word that our motto, you know, about our motto, that is what we're going to do, which is beautiful, high-performance home computers for creativity and entertainment.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
No, I think all any of our listeners after listening to this interview will know that it's way more than just about making money. I mean, you're passionate about this, and I think that you know, that helps people understand that, you know, you really care about making, bringing back the spirit of these computers and making them shine, like you said. So, yeah, it's easy to tell that it's way more than just a business. This is something you're passionate about personally, and it sounds like the team at Commodore is, and so we're really excited about that.
Great. And on that note, you know, I congratulate you on your 50th podcast, and, you know, I thank you for having me, and I hope we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, for sure, and it was definitely our pleasure to have you. One more quick question: is the Commodore?
Oh, okay, sure.
Are all the variations of the Commodore 64 remake are those currently available or on pre-order, or what's happening with that?
Oh, okay. So what's happening is the mold is very close to completion, so they're pre-orders, and they're going to production in. Early May.
Okay.
And they'll start shipping about mid to late May.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
No problems. Yeah, and you know, we'll make a big noise about it. You'll see videos of these first Commodore 64s coming off the conveyor belt, and you know, it'll bring a tear to your eye, I'm sure. And we're looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to getting these, you know, not only, you know, selling these online further, but you know, to retailers all around the world, and we've received a lot of interest, and so you know, you'll be able to get to these in your city, wherever you are. So yeah, it's all looking good.
Well, fantastic. So, well, we want to thank Leo Nigro again for being on our show, the Chief Technology Officer of Commodore 64. It was definitely our pleasure to have you on, and I do hope you'll come back again. And we want to wish you the best of luck with Commodore, and we are just really excited to see what the future holds. So thanks again for being on.
Thank you.
Yep, have a wonderful day.
Thank you, you too. Are you keeping up with the
Commodore? Was the Commodore keeping up with you? Oh, Scott, what an amazing interview. We just want to thank Leo again for coming on the show. What an honor to have someone like that that's so vested into a company and into the gaming industry as a part of our show. So thank you, Leo Nigro, for coming on the show again from Commodore USA, the Chief Technology Officer there. And obviously, you can tell that he wears many hats in the company. So,
yeah, dude. I can't get over the specs. I mean, really, he's thinking about the operating systems in 2020 right now.
Yeah, I mean, what's amazing is this is the same effect as the Pierce Solar interview, and what we find out is that people are passionate.
Yes.
You know, and so we see Leo, he talks about how passionate he is for Commodore. I mean, basically, he has followed that company since his very first Commodore system.
Yeah.
You know, which he still has sitting on his desk, he said, you know, and
yeah.
So he's followed the company, and even, I don't know what he was doing, I'm assuming some professional field in technology. And he hears about someone trying to restart Commodore after the bankruptcy.
And he goes all in.
And he goes, yeah, he starts writing and saying, what about this and what about that? And he had been participating in forums. And he goes out there, and before you know it, he's the Chief Technology Officer, really, with Barry, the other leader of the company, leading the charge to bring Commodore back. And, you know,
yeah.
I'm going to support Commodore. I mean, in my mind, the PC world, the market is open. And I know Apple and Windows, and they have their shares, obviously, but there's room for creativity in
my
mind.
Yeah, there is.
And something creative always has an opportunity, you know? And so it's really neat to see Leo just leading the charge with Commodore. And dude, this interview has me amped. I mean, like,
so I never had much experience with the Commodore 64, and I got pumped up about it. It made me want to try, maybe I could do a little programming. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah,
he was that engaging, but also that proud of the processes that they're putting in place with the Commodore OS that's going to come loaded in the system. I mean, it feels like they're putting a lot of effort into thinking about everything.
And it's cool. They're going to actually put Ubuntu Linux in the system.
Okay.
But they're bringing the Commodore OS will be shipped to people who order the system, like, later on.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, but it's awesome because when I think of Commodore, like, I told Leo, like, I believe I mentioned this in the interview that, like, I used to go watch War Games. I don't know if you ever saw that movie.
Are you kidding me? He ruled at that time of movies.
So I watched that. I would watch War Games, and I'd go upstairs, and I'd sit in front of the blue screen on the Commodore and be like, how can I hack into the government without a modem, without any connection to the outside world? Like,
you said
that's the feeling Commodore gave you. Like, okay, I have this machine. There has to be some way I can do something amazing with it, you know, that's the spirit that you get that's revitalized with Leo and with Commodore. So we are full supporters of Commodore moving forward and supporters of the products. And our listeners, we're going to link the Commodore website. You have to go check it out.
Yeah.
Got a lot of cool stuff happening.
If only I would have had a Commodore 64 growing up, I could have changed my grades.
I know.
When you mentioned when I was listening to the interview with Leo, when you mentioned War Games, I always think about when Matthew Broderick changes his grade in the system, and I was thinking like, oh man, like that's so crazy. Because no offense to the people that ran my middle school, but Oh my gosh, would that have been easy to do if they had computers that had upgrades in it? Like, they would have just been, it was one of those things as a kid. It's like, oh, it'd be so cool.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, man. Leo, thanks for coming on the show. Really, really good interview there. So, Tony, we,